I'm talking to the I received a call from he wanted to find out about certain dishes that were discussed at the end of the month, May 27th. I started to expect what was but on Saturday, there's a report that's appearing from the paper. Kendra said to go the same story way behind. I think for America, because if you remember, Wednesday, I remember we agreed that there are certain things we cannot step on the responsibilities of America. As much as he spoke about what is happening in members and president and what is happening in organizations, but we keep on promoting that the government is impacting on the nation. In no way could we find a portfolio committee that is in one department and saying things are happening for us. The report came then, in the past, the future of this country was left in chance, and it was a big COVID decree from the government. I think that's the case for the moment. I think that's the case for the moment. And the moment. I become so worried because the opening of the reporter, I'm not surprised. The reporter should indicate that these were the deliberations. Not to come and suggest. Because we still have to deal with it. I'm ready to be clear because I take it that when she said to me, a minute that is taken from here. They say they call the minute. I don't want to make it that much of this funny point. But they insist that their name when they are taking a minute. They are minutes. That must be for them. Because it's to say it's the minute of the government. It's the minute of the PM. It must be here. That's all right. That has subject for the truth. And furthermore, I would want to make a special appeal to the PM. If there are certain things that I don't care, they must send contact and not quote members of Parliament because they will further explain what he meant. Certainly, when we discuss issues, we discuss them from a given point. That I'm then saying. The meeting that we had was not a conference. It was a deliberation. It was a conference. Until you come up with a final solution. symptoms are there, that the COVID is saying no, 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 no. One point I think is that we can also think about the spine, we can also think about the pressure of the joint family. That's not in agreement. Please let's look at it. So that is why I'm very, very, very upset with the way it's done. I'm saying this because one of the topics I once again said, but I'm not saying that I can agree with the people that said. Once again, the general. This is the military general. What appeared in the military general, I thought to me, is systematic. There was an article that also appeared. We were instructed that as members of parliament, not understand what they were doing or what they were doing. We are convinced of it. I had to call Mr. Mackenzie to find out where he is. He said, no, these are me. I took them and they are from here. Nothing he had added to fight what was some of them saying that was also a why, because he's reflected on them. And I don't think we can continue to find ourselves in India. And things say, remember, I just wanted to reflect on this. While so, the second issue before us, on Sunday, one honorable member of the Council gave me a call, a very nice call, and said, did you see what it is? Why? Not as an answer. What is the balance of health? I think that is a good one. It was on the nation of kindness, it says on the country of the state. Going to create the management of the health of good home has recently been transferred from the Department of Health. I don't know what. Let us go back again. When we call the Department of Health, the Department of Health, the Department apologized and stated that the president has been present yesterday. But the members present attended to greet the members. But made a commitment to that president. It was the commitment. A kind of commitment that was made after that, that in a meeting that something happened, because we were much interested to know what happened in the morning, and then learned that the West Department was in the country. Who is supposed to have mentioned that some kind of action? But you're still in action. So much.
has happened is that the reflection of a meeting where discussions took place in the form of PMD's minutes have been taken by the press as if it is a fait accompli, as if this committee has made a decision and that because the decision has been taken, certain members of this committee's views are then reflected, which I think is totally unfair. And I think the message that one would like to convey is that this committee will do the task which is in front of them in a responsible way. This committee will not act as a rubber stamp. It is our responsibility as MPs before we pass legislation to acquaint ourselves exactly concerning the implication of the legislation which we are dealing with. And that is why it is correct that we interrogate the Department of Arts and Culture as well, because we must be sure that if the castle or the management of the castle is transferred, that in fact to Arts and Culture, that in fact it is a move in the correct direction. And that is why also the Robben Island situation, what has happened there, what's happening there, what's reported to happen there, is part and parcel of the duty of this committee to acquaint itself with. And we will continue on that path. There's no way that we can be steamrolled to make a decision and to adopt a bill and then we are confronted with an advertisement like this which says the castle management is transferred to Arts and Culture from the 1st of April. It is totally unacceptable. It is a negation of the integrity and the sovereignty of Parliament. And somehow this situation must be adopted, must be addressed. Because if from the department side, the portfolio committee, which is an extension of Parliament, is viewed as if we are just going to rubber stamp something, and we are just sort of an obstacle of necessity in the road, or an instrument, then we will not condemn them. So I would also like to express my disdain for this investment. Thank you.
No, thanks. This is a money to members. I think it's fine. I just send this to echo the sentiment. Maybe I just read this so that the lady, whatever is recording, must support for them. The advent, this is nomination of candidates to serve on the Council of Good Hope. The management of the Castle of Good Hope has recently been transferred from the Department of Defense to the Department of Arts and Culture. Then it goes on that has been established about the Act of 1988. Now, I'll address, for the convenience of this meeting, I'll address myself to the same here, if anybody. Yes. We left this meeting at a point where, while we wanted the Department of Defense to be present, and the Department of Defense was present, but the Department of Agriculture was not present. We have discussed this period. Now, while there was an apology on the department, on the part of the Department of Arts and Culture, the Jefferson Institution, they've got know, that necessity to go ahead and advertise, because this advert is coming from the Apostle Paul. To go ahead and advertise that the way they've done here. Five. Now, if the very people have advertised, they have come and passed this legislation, let them go ahead. Like other members are saying. There's just no way that we can be made the last thing stop. We are very clear of what our legislation is supposed to be. We are not elected here by the executive. Executive is just one other side. We are the legislative side. We are representing this parliament, the people of South Africa, and we have to remain loyal to them. So we are going to hold it as our processes where we are still expecting that the two bodies must be there, so that we clarify ourselves of what we are laying our hands. Oh, I make a point. We are also quite aware, perhaps we must hasten to bring up this one. You know, when is there going to be a regime change? I think people are quite aware that next year there are elections. Now, if from a bureaucratic point of view, if people are reading it, to say, I'm sure this is the time when we can bring more than one thing in there, I don't think this politician will pay particular attention to this thing. This one, we are aware of it. We cannot be, you know, easily be treated like that. We are quite aware. So, can the department go and do the right to come? If the executive side, they'll take it ahead, let them take it ahead, but from the legislative side, for fight your own responsibility. That must be very clear. I want to wish that to be conveyed to everybody responsible for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, without belaboring the point. I have a suggestion to make. I suggest that, Chairperson, you communicate with your counterpart in the Provincial Arts and Culture Committee, as well as write a letter to the Minister of Arts and Culture, as well as the Minister of Defense, expressing the views expressed in this chamber, as well as issue a press statement throwing light on your introductory remarks. The very same point that you made, but it should go through the media. And yeah, I fully support what my colleagues are saying. We will have to enforce the legislative process, if that's what we're here to do. We must not allow people to make decisions outside the framework. Because part of the
see the truth of the truth. This one is very clear. So what is important is that when we deal, we must also know that we were as much as they want certain work to be done, they must also appreciate that. We need our time. And we cannot be dictated. Because at the end of the day, we are going. And it ends up being our for the department to increase. The product that comes out of pharmacy is the one that applies. Not that we should apply. We put our vote on each and everything that we came to. Anything that comes up is an indictment of man. It will come up as something. Because what I know bureaucrats, whenever they implement the decision and they do find fault or unable to implement a certain thing there because of their regulation, they'll come up and then say, no, no. Yes. Remember. It comes back on. And then say, we don't need that kind of competition. But then we take the view made by members.
Indicate to the chairperson that I'm not from the department, I'm not in a position to make any briefing, I do what the department tells me before a legislation is specified, and I specify it to ensure that it's in accordance with the Constitution. After I have specified it, we send it to Parliament for deliberation, and when committees have suggested amendments to the legislation, we effect those amendments. We do not take any part and we don't comment on policy issues. I just want to make the members aware that this Mr. Titus that the chairperson was talking about is actually not from the Department of Arts and Culture, but from the state law advisor. But an impression was created that he's from the Department of Arts and Culture. If I understood well, maybe I didn't understand. If I didn't understand it that way, I would apologize. But my position is that I'm a state law advisor. I advise the Parliament and the Cabinet in legislation drafting.
Your explanation is last 3.1, we will put that
fundamental thing is that you and the because when we deal with it, we work as a team. I can put away my school. Because while it's tempting to make a day, if I may ask, if you like, I don't want to. A cabinet member, you know what that is. You know what that is. And you know what that is. Not just one. Members, we may now welcome. We will be looking into the aspect of the three aspects of the form from the current. And we were caught up in the build-up of the form. Though we only came rather late, because we expected then we started to look into the report. And one thing then we were caught between the two. And then we said, here is the annual report. This year that is coming and being attacked as a private report. How are we then taking care of it? If we do engage with ourselves, the annual report, which we have to anyway, then what if we do come up with a recommendation, would you recommend me to then say, please do not get that present by my report? But the problem is that you get it said, it still remains out of the problem. That any annual report, it may be a simple but the starting point is that it should be 22. There are issues that have been created. This is not a habit of this. Yes, last week the problem of putting our office to the thing that we are raising that we should ask the committee to also enter a statement of something that they can do.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Zengu, Chairman of the Portfolio Committee on Defense, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, members, I'd like to introduce the members of the defense team. On my left, I have Mrs. Audrey Hoffenbach, who is a specialist official in the DoD to do with military heritage issues, specifically in the museum area. And behind me, we have Mr. Njekeda, who is our legal officer in the DoD, and who's specifically involved with the repeal bill. I'm Brigadier General Eric Navratil. I'm the Director of Facilities, and therefore, in an acting capacity of the Chair of the Financial Control Board, I'm here representing our Minister on all aspects of the Castle and the Annual Report. Thank you.
And you have a good contribution.
which we'd like to do the presentation is by covering the repetitive issues as pronounced by the Auditor General, and those matters of concern, matters of emphasis in the annual report. We'll deal with that first. Secondly, we will look at the issues raised by SCOPA in our meeting last Wednesday on the 12th of March, as well as the members of the Portfolio Committee of the things who attended. And we will also provide you then with the answers that were given by the things on the day. Thirdly, we'd like to look at the SCOPA and as well as the members of the Portfolio Committee made certain recommendations, and we'd like to look at those as well. And lastly, the meeting held by the between the DOD and Portfolio Committee on the things on the 4th of March, there were a number of questions raised at that meeting as well, and we'd like to provide feedback on that. Thank you. We continue then with the first item under internal control environment, which is a matter of concern specifically asset management. The one issue that was addressed was the inadequate asset audit trail. And this goes not only about good management, sound management, goes as well about the fact that we are in the process of transfers, and if our management isn't sound, we don't know what assets we've got. Things could disappear in the process. I'd like to therefore say to you, Chair, and the members, that the asset management is being addressed. We have purchased a database, a software package, Humanity CMD, to ensure that the capturing of assets and the presentation of assets on the financials is done according to what the AG requires. We're happy to confirm that this process is reaching completion, and our completion date, I can confirm, will be June. In June this year. And that will mean that according to our asset register and the physical item, that we will be able to identify those items back to the register by means of photographs, as we've indicated here that some of these items are very small and valuable, and it's difficult to label them as is normally the practice. So we have changed the process of actually photographing them and showing exactly where that item is to be found. In other words, either in a store or on display. Currently, Ezeco is using a similar process. Carrying on with asset management, a further matter of concern and mentioned under matter of emphasis is that the physical stock taking of assets hasn't been done. This is not acceptable. It's got to be corrected. We have planned, and as was mentioned by the committee last Wednesday, we are now due for a closure of another financial year. We do not want the same issue to be raised again. We have therefore taken steps that stock take will be completed by the end of this financial year, in other words, by the end of March, as we are in now, by identifying suitably qualified personnel in and out of the DOD, who can recognize these items and ensure that the assets are adequately identified and confirmed back to the register. Further to that, the manner in which it will be done is there is a existing manual database. We feel that this is adequate at this stage to at least carry out the physical stock take by ensuring an accurate identification of the items. And we believe that when it comes to a planned transfer of assets, that our software package will have been completed, and that will be then used to once again to a proper count overseen by the Auditor General. another matter of concern was the date of purchase. And the available date of purchase are currently included in the manual database. So that has been addressed as far as the manual is concerned. However, that information has to be transferred over to the IT system that we've recently purchased. Under internal control environment, continuing the non-compliance with regulations as far as the lack of critical appointments in respect of governance issues. Audit committee has not existed. We accept that responsibility was not done. It's got to be done. We have therefore undertaken that an audit committee will be established by the 30th of May. We have already taken steps to ensure that this is put in place in discussion with the Auditor General as well as the Inspector General of the DoD. And of course, management will then be included, and that it is functioning effectively in terms of what is generally required. As far as the internal audit function, that neither exists, and we have already made arrangements with the Inspector General, who now has that capacity, has been given that capability in the DoD, and he will be carrying out the internal audit function. The non-compliance of PFMA regulations as far as critical appointments, we continue. Two further appointments, one being the Chief Executive Director, not appointed. We undertake that appointment will be done by the end of April. Chair, I just want to assure you that these are not just dates we are reading out here. We have actually taken concrete steps to make sure that they can be achieved and that the appointments will be the right people, the effective people. The vice chairman, for instance, is someone that will be appointed in terms of the Act out of the Craftsman Control Board. So that is something we believe that can be done fairly rapidly. It is important, we believe, that no matter what the future in terms of transference, when it should take place, sooner or later, that these requirements are done urgently, and that we are, as a Department of Defense, seem to be taking our role in the management of the castle seriously and in a responsible fashion, so that one day when we do hand over, we can hand over a going concern that covers all governance issues. On the next slide, the same applies under the requirements of the Castle Management Act that these two posts are filled. The next is the supply management policy, which doesn't exist. Again, there is no excuse for the lack of it. The challenge has to be immediately undertaken to ensure that this policy is developed by the DoD, and we have already requested certain members of the DoD to begin the start, and they've been given until April. We say by the end of May we will be complete with this job. That applies to the Human Resources Plan, and we wish to confirm that the DoD does not take the view that even though 80% of the cost of staff are employed by the DoD, that the management plan therefore doesn't apply. The Cost of Control Board is a separate body, has its own act, and therefore will have its own human resource plan. And that is in process. We have requested our Human Resources Department in the DoD to assist us with that. And they have undertaken it by the end of June. That will be complete. And we from the Castle Control Board will ensure that these things happen. Chair, the The next point I wish you roll over to now is the questions raised by SCOPA last week and the Portfolio Committee on Defence. And it really went about primarily about asset management and the concern that these assets are not properly identified and known, and therefore things could disappear along the way. And as I, in my previous point, explained, I'd like to go further and say, as a means of explanation of the complexity of the assets that's managed, the members are informed that there are different owners of assets in the castle. It makes the process slightly more complicated, but not that difficult. However, it's important to point out that the following owners of assets can be found in the castle. Number one, and the most important one, which the members are concerned about of this committee, and those are the Castle Control Board. Then, the DoD also has assets, and these need to be carefully documented, and the future of those assets need to be decided on. Utilization of it. Then, thirdly, we have the Castle Military Museum Trust, which has a number of valuable artifacts, and in terms of uniform, medals, and smaller artifacts, these are also under the management of the Castle Control Board. Okay. Then we get on to EZCO. So they have their own assets. This has to be clarified exactly that what it is, and that there is no confusion in that area. And then there are also private items donated or in use of private people. The Castle Control Board only takes responsibility for the CCP assets. So my correction there, not the Castle Military Museum Trust. Then there is a contentious issue of the valuation of assets. We are unfortunately not in, no positive feedback can be provided with regard to the valuation of historical assets, as an external valuator is yet to be appointed. The Castle Control Board will have a contractually appointed valuator to fill these duties. We are not delaying things by that, but this is a specialist area that we have to find the right person in order to understand what value exists, so that we can represent the financial assets correctly, not under or overvaluing the extent of the assets of the Cost Control Board. Then, further on the asset management, the transference of assets. We have undertaken that a complete list of Castle Control Board as well as DoD and GM assets will be available before the transfer of the castle. Chair, that was a specific question. That was a concern of the members present of the Portfolio Committee. And the DoD and Castle Control Board are currently in the process of updating the database of all assets situated in the castle, as has been previously stated. A question further raised was the security of the assets. And if I understand and remember the question, it went about the period now, the run-up to transference, and then afterwards. During the transference, there would be an interim period where the DoD takes responsibility after the bill would have been enacted. And then what happens after that period until arts and culture are in a position to take over? Whose responsibility is that? And we stated that it is the DoD's responsibility until we are sufficiently happy that arts and culture are in a position then to sign off on that. The SNDF currently takes responsibility towards the security of the castle as guards of the college. That is, guards of the perimeter, as well as in the areas where the Cost Control Board has control of museum assets. We have employed staff looking after those assets during the day. Thereafter, the access is presence of movable assets. This was a question, are we in a position at this stage to properly maintain in a sophisticated manner to ensure that these assets continue to retain their value? In other words, it was mentioned, are we using humidifiers? Are the coatings correct? And so on. And we said that the curator of the Castle Military Museum is a professional museologist, and the preservation of artifacts is of the highest quality at this stage. We believe that it's done correctly. Then, continuing on the transfer to the Department of Art and Culture, and questions from last Wednesday, structures or mechanisms put in place to manage the transfer. The question was, is there any existing structure that is properly constituted, controlled, reporting structures in order that what we say can actually happen? And although the Castle Management Act repealable makes provision for the establishment of the task team comprised of DOD and DAC members and was constituted during November last year. And we said at the time that the DOD committee takes responsibility for the execution of all outstanding issues. However, Chair, if you remember, I made the remark that we met last year and we clearly stated our minister's position as far as the instruction by Cabinet, what should be done, and from Art and Culture, there was disagreement on what our understanding was of the matter from our minister. And I think it's important that, with your permission, that I can just repeat that to the members. We are very clear from the Ministry of our minister's side that in terms of the bill, how it describes the transfer of management and administration of the castle. However, Arts and Culture's view is that it involves the actual transfer of ownership of not only movable, but immovable assets as well. In other words, the endowment property would be changed in ownership to that of Arts and Culture. And not only that, Chair, their understanding is that it doesn't just include the castle, but it includes that of the Tanderstoot magazine, the Signal Hill noon gun emplacement, as well as the Fort Vineyard in the Greenpoint area. We are quite clear from our department and the minister what our intention is, as confirmed by Cabinet. So we have requested that that matter be resolved on a political level. Thank you. And may I then just add that that difference has in actual fact been the stumbling block in continuing this this process of the structures that were established. Therefore, time frames and deadlines applicable to the transfer should be renegotiated once Arts and Culture has clarified its position. A question was asked on the envisaged role of the DOD after the transfer. Chair, this would be a position that we would have to take from the guidance and leadership of our minister. However, we as the department see that due to the fact that the building itself is defence endowment, the castle is defence endowment property, we will continue to as well that accommodated in the castle are certain reserve force measures and the reserve force recruiting office, that we would have continued to have a role to play in an oversight role in terms of the property itself, and then of course the accommodation of the reserve forces. Exactly what that would entail would have to be done through discussion. As far as the control of the income generated, there was a general feeling of concern, as well as with the assets, the fixed assets, or what and what control measures are in place for income generated now and then possibly into the future. Specifically, it was mentioned the interim period. What control measures in place? The Council Control Board will continue to control the income generated in the interim period now and during the interim period during the transfer process until DAC accepts control. We will not allow the standard to slip. The transfer to Department of Arts and Culture, the DOD Museums and Collections. There was a question asked by one of the members, honourable members of SCOPA, about how do we relate the castle to museums. And as members, chairs, the members will know that there are a number of museums in the DOD. At this stage, all I can answer is that the minister has instructed that it is only the management and administration of the castle that is being transferred to Arts and Culture, and not other museums and collections. The main reason, as I stipulated last week, is the transfer of the castle, it is not the DOD's core business, and it is really unaffordable in terms of facility management, the upkeep of the infrastructure. However, the whole issue regarding museums is a matter that has to be taken under the magnifying glass now in the DOD and investigated. What is the relationship? However, I would like to point out, after discussing the matter with my colleagues, is that although military museums in general are open to the public, that is not the sensitivity surrounding that is not as great as the castle. The castle, which is exposed to a highly sophisticated public, specifically the tourist, and it is not always seen as a museum. It's not a museum, but it is something that is a broader relationship to the public, as specifically a military museum. The castle itself has military museums inside it, but the castle structure itself has a broader public than those of the military museums. As far as the sustainability of the Castle Control Board, there was a very pertinent and direct question asked about the sustainability, and we as the representatives of the minister said that we agreed with the person, the member answering the question, that it is not self-sustained. And that statement is justified by the fact that the DOD subsidizes a large portion of the budget in terms of salaries and so on. So if we had to honestly answer that answer, then all costs, all operating costs, would be carried by the income generated through various activities of the castle control board. So that is something that needs to be addressed through a sound business plan into the future. As far as the questions raised last week, the governance issues were addressed in the first part of our presentation, which was the lack of an audit committee, which we hopefully have been able to address, the appointment of Chief Executive Director, as well as the Human Resources Management Plan. Chair, I'd like to go then over to the third portion of this presentation, and that is there were certain recommendations made by SCOPA, which we appreciate, as well as the portfolio committee on defense, the members that attended. And the first one went about, they must, in terms of transparency and the committee taking and wanting to assist, not only from a responsibility point of view, but they clearly said they would like to help and provide advice. And it was then instructed that SCOPA be provided with a quarterly report so that from a monitoring and advice point of view, and that this be supported by means of an interim business plan so that it makes sense. And Chairman, I would understand, due to the fact that although this was raised by one of the honourable members of SCOPA, that this would have been included without a doubt before the Portfolio Committee on Defence as well. The cooperation between all stakeholders involved, there was a concern. It was therefore recommended that all stakeholders involved in the management and transfer of the castle cooperate and work more closely together. And Chair, as you quite rightly pointed out in your opening address, this is possibly one of the results that has brought this about. Then. The maintenance of the castle as fixed assets, it was recommended that the National Treasury ring-fence, or at least that National Treasury be approached and be requested, engaged to provide funding as a separate line item to the Department of Defence to assist in the maintenance of the castle. Now, Chair, that remark was made on the basis that as a means of an option to consider that should remain with the bench, that we should consider doing something like this. Conservation of military history, it was recommended that the DoD continue to provide the capacity for conservation of our military history. The concern there was raised that DoD should consider if it was not giving up on its responsibility to look after items of military history and its involvement as far as that. And it was mentioned that a number of the members saw that as part and parcel of DoD's responsibility in looking after its heritage. The compilation of the business management plan was recommended that the CCB combine an interim business plan of action. The urgent tabling of the Castle Management Act repealable, it was recommended by SCOTA and the PCD that all Castle stakeholders should be consulted regarding the repeal of the Act. And if I could just elaborate to the members that it was felt that we should be more inclusive on a wider range of that all members are that the repeal bill be discussed with all stakeholders. We then go on to the fourth item of the presentation, and that was the meeting held on the 4th of March, and there were a number of issues raised. We received feedback from our representative, General Mono, and they were as follows. The transitional arrangement between DoD and Arts and Culture to transfer the management of the castle. We trust that our answers thus far have been explanatory enough to fulfill that concern. Secondly, it was the measures taken by DoD to address the Auditor General's report, items under emphasis of matter, which we have also presented. And then thirdly, we looked at the lack of management appointments. We have made commitments in that respect. And then the transfer of military museums, the concern that why only the castle, and that is an issue that still requires DoD to look holistically at the whole museum issue in the DoD. Then a concern that was raised was the DoD management and accountability in terms of Veterans Association and Reserve Force accommodation. We'd like to provide partial feedback on that by saying that the DoD wishes to ensure that the castle accommodation currently used by reserve force units is retained. And we have already made this request to Arts and Culture for the use. And most important for our department is that there would be no financial implications. In other words, there would be no rental that the department had to transfer to the Department of Arts and Culture. Chair, that is the end of the presentation. I would like to thank you and the members for bearing with us on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Secondly, you address now on page 12 of your annual report the audit committee
that we've been outstanding for 3 years. The system was in full internal audit outstanding for 3 years. Now you put deadline for that Inspector General as well as for the establishment of your audit permit. I don't know why it took 3 years to get to this point of getting a deadline to establish an audit permit. Maybe you can explain to us on that one. Then, on page 21, your office status on your board, I see there's a vacancy for the City Council of Cape Town, there's a vacancy on the Tourism Board, there's a vacancy on the MOD representative in consultation with the Minister of Education, I see there's a vacancy on the Legislature of Wissington, and I see there's a vacancy of the Minister of Sanitation. If you go back to the two previous years, exactly it was the same vacancy. How can you manage a board effectively running with these vacancies for year in, year out? I hope you understand how you can run effectively. You can just answer on that. My last question on the, maybe of the next one on the second job, the commercial aspect of the culture. Is that being managed by the Department of Defense? Was it managed by the Culture Control Board?
Thank you.
I don't know, I was comfortable with the table of questions. Chair, if I could answer those of Dr. Colonel. The first question went about the quality and the repetitiveness of the comments in the annual report. We have taken note of the concerns of the honourable member that is not acceptable. We have to report and be specific about a financial year and start talking about that and not just try and cut and paste, as was quite correctly said. So the department, and this will be referred back to the Council Control Board, will ensure that this is corrected for the coming financial statements. And that is at the end of March coming up down the order to finalise on that. The as far as the transitional arrangements are concerned, I don't quite, I couldn't catch that. If I could just ask the member if there was anything specific he'd like to ask, that we should answer on that. The chair is opening the mouth. He said we need to look at the transitional arrangement. In your presentation, you reported that there are uncertainties and ambiguities and in the transitional arrangement. So is this what the committee to take it up with the DOD, including yourself, and the Department of Health. So it's not a specific question, I'm just confirming what the chair said. We need to have clarity on the additional arrangements. We're not going to get it in this meeting. It's probably in the next meeting that we need to have some clarity on that. But surely, what you're saying to us is not in place. What you're saying is the two departments are not seeing eye to eye. In the previous meeting, the legal advisor, Taylor, had clearly indicated the DOD position. What you're saying now is the DHC has another position. So we need to be there. So it's not a specific question.
Thank you, Chair. I understand it. I've noted it. And as far as the quarterly meetings are concerned, Chair, that will, the minutes of those, they have taken place. They do take place. We will provide the minutes to you, Chair, on those meetings. Then the vacancies existing in the office there is, it almost seems that we missed the point by when I listened to the honourable member of focusing on key issues, what the auditor said. But however, it goes without saying that in our interim plan, a business plan of action, all this was included, which we will then provide you a copy of. After this meeting, Chair, we are planning to get together as a group and clearly set out all those issues. So I thank the honourable member for pointing that out once again and to give assurance that when we sit this afternoon with the members of the Cost Control Board that must be included. But you cannot, you've got to have a proper quorum and an input from all stakeholders so that you're not running that as some NGOs or in the middle of Cape Town where it's actually involved with all citizens. As far as the commercial aspects are concerned, that is run by the Castle Control Board. In other words, if we understand the commercial aspect, that not only managing the income from tickets, entrance tickets of tourists and visitors, there are a number of, there are restaurants involved. And currently, some of them, the one restaurant is run by the military, so that is the Combined Club, runs the function, head bunkers, and that is hired out for functions, which brings in an income as well. And there are also privately employed people in that entity running it, but managed by the Combined Club. I can just mention that is one of the entities which would then have to be given up. It is used as a combined club for the DoD as well, for officers and NCOs. That would imply that we would have to go and find new premises. And one of the ideas we have got is to rebuild the facility at Weinberg Military Base that the members will know burned down a number of years back that needs to be replaced. So that is one of the projects that we've undertaken. Then there is the restaurant. And as well as outside, there's outside the walls of and I believe those are outsourced to private individuals under the control of the Castle Control Board. Thank you, Chair. I hope we managed to answer those questions.
Just a follow-up.
Then call for a follow-up.
That's not
just a follow-up. Exactly the point that I'm making. Your vacancies have been running on your board since 2004. Exactly these five vacancies that I've mentioned in your reports from 2004, 2005, 2006. But at the same time, this board is managing the commercial aspects of the cost. That's exactly the point I'm making. You cannot manage the commercial aspects of the cost with a hostile board. So I still don't have an answer why these vacancies for 4 years have not been filled. It's the responsibility of the board. We cannot, all I'm saying is it's not acceptable to have vacancies on your board for 4 years. And at the same time, you manage the commercial aspects of the board. It's a weakness, in good governance.
If I may, in the interview, it comes down to one error that
my involvement has not been that long, and I would also accept that not as focused over the last few months as it should have been. So to go and judge or comment on my predecessor is difficult at this stage as to why certain things were not done. And however, Chair, that I have accepted responsibility, and the appointed representative, a DoD represented by the Minister, Chief Logistics, General Konyan, has tasked me to go and do this job, and I accepted that it's something that can be done. I really don't see that this is a task that a difficult task. It's a challenging and it's an interesting task that can be done. So I'm committing myself to ensure that that those vacancies. It's unacceptable, I can say, and we've got to go and correct it. And that will be addressed this afternoon, how are we going to do it. But short of going into the reasons why my predecessors did or did not do things that they were supposed to do, it's very difficult for me to expand on that. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Dr. Konak has partially covered some of my concerns. However, I have the following 2 points to draw your attention. It is heartening to note that the Brigadier General has initiated, or you are in the process of initiating, a number of mitigating actions in order to address issues around non-compliance, especially in terms of filling a position, you know, critical appointments, etc. I note that you have set some very firm time frames in order to achieve these targets. Now, my concern is that it took 3 years for them to basically do nothing. Now, it's a serious thing. Set yourself a target in order to achieve that which wasn't achieved in the last 3 years. Starting from any of March, giving yourself a target for May, for some of the other goals that you hope to achieve. Is that realistic? Secondly, I note that you have taken measures now to appoint a chief executive director in Tirum Kiris. I remember from a previous presentation that these positions, especially the CEOs, were not filled because of a moratorium that was placed on the minister, I believe. Now, what informed his decision to lift the moratorium in order to actually fill the position of an executive, interim executive director? And thirdly, is it not an exercise in futility? Because at the end of the day, you're going to go all out to achieve X, Y, and Z in the next 3 months. Then comes the Department of Arts and Culture, takes over. We don't know what policy or what structure they're going to have in order to manage this thing. What is going to be the status of all these posts that you're filling? That's a concern as well.
Thank you, Chair. In reply to Mr. Shaw's questions, first of all, I think the member of SCOPA asked that question, that is it feasible that during this period we should do all these things? Why do it? Our approach on it is to say that it doesn't matter, that those things in terms of the Act should be done. It must be in place. So, in my mind, there's no question about making sure that these governance issues are sorted out and put in place. And it just doesn't go about the fact that, but when we are in a position to hand over, we must make sure that the assets that are handed over to another department are done in a very responsible and controlled fashion. So that is the motivation for doing what we are doing. As far as the target dates and the fact that it hasn't been done 3 years, and then the question then is how can it be done in that short period of time, the fact that it hasn't been done in 3 years, I think one has to go look at what has to be done and ask yourself, is it possible, is it realistic? And first of all, we are also driven by the fact that it could happen, all things being equal, that the bill goes, assume the bill goes, and it could be ready by September. will we be, so there's no question about it, it has to be done. If it isn't realistic, then we've got to make it realistic. We've got to make sure that it's going to happen in that time. So we have sat down, we have looked at to see what are those things that have to be done, and yes, my answer is that it is possible. And therefore we set those dates. The fact that it was done over 3 years again, I must say that I cannot comment on my predecessor's approach on why and why not. But as I'm faced now at the moment with the challenges, it has to be done. And no doubt, Chair, that the assistance of the portfolio committee always does help in that sense, in pointing out things and directing and leading as well, and asking the right question. Chair, I hope I've managed to answer that, if I could just ask Mr. Sean.
Thank you, General. Two questions, basically. The issue of the monitoring. Your predecessor might invoke that very fact that there was a monitoring in place, but that was basically a monitoring, I think, as the CEO, not any of the other folks. If you have some knowledge as to why, what informed that decision now. But certainly, the fact that, may I ask, when did you actually occupy this? How long ago? So that I can then build a question on that.
Yes. Okay, I was requested last year at near the end of last year to attend a chairman meeting with no title or appointment or register to go chair meeting. And that's where I became involved over and above my other responsibilities of facility management in the DOD. And I have requested General Konyani 2 weeks ago to kindly just formally appoint and mandate me to go and do what I have to do. And then as far as the moratorium is concerned, Chair, I'd like to be quite frank, I know, and say that when we prepared last week's presentation on very short notice, I had to gather information that was available to me and in an honest and sincere fashion present that to the members as I understood it. In finalizing this presentation over the weekend, I went to go and inquire as to where did this moratorium come from. And unfortunately, as Chair of the Members know, that our Minister is on a trip at the moment and unavailable, but nowhere can I find any confirmation in files or anything. And Chair, I think that with something like this, I think you'd want to find something in writing from our minister. So I have been unable from my predecessor to source confirmation of this. And for that reason, without having proper confirmation, I withheld it from this presentation. And I believe then that short of that having something in writing, we must press on and make those appointments at the earliest. Thank you.
Certainly can't hold you accountable for the last 2 years, but I think we have every right to hold that individual accountable who occupied that position, who was given that responsibility prior to yourself, sir. And I would suggest that we have to identify who this individual is. Where is he or she now? Did they do a proper handing over? Did they hand you all the documentation, everything? Were you briefed? Was that transition, that phase, transfer phase? Did that happen? If it didn't happen, then something wrong happened. So that individual has to be identified, and this committee will have to, that person has to explain to this committee, through the chair, as to why those things that Dr. Kunafan asked in the last year did not happen. Somebody has to be accountable. Otherwise, what's going to happen to the government? Where are we heading? We're not a banana economy. Thank you.
Yeah, my page.
saying something that I don't teach true. Yeah, no, that's what I think. You are saying the new after eating the process of success will be kept sharp. Now maintaining it at 80%. And when you go down on the audit, you're saying that stock takes were not carried out in the past due to a level suitably qualified personnel, qualified personnel. The assumption here that I understand is that now you have got that personnel. But I want to check to say, can that be verified if we go home, you know, as a portfolio committee to the council? Can we verify this and to say, here is now the personnel or the system that is now voting for you? Is it 80%? In other words, the weakness you have identified and stated, is it verifiable? That's one question. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, I'm just representing them in the airport council.
Chair, I'm representing General Anderson, the reserve office, satellite office in the Western Cape.
Thank you.
As far as the class team is concerned, and those members, I don't think we can. We have some names of the arsenic culture, Mr. Erwin Langeveld, Mr. Mike Rennie, and there are approximately six members on that committee. A set of minutes was kept of the meetings held so far, and from the DOD side, it is myself, honourable member, and Mrs. Andrea Achenbach as well. And we are also represented by our Chief Financial Officer on that board. The fourth bit here, that is the property next to Somerset Hospital, coming out of the waterfront, Moody Point Sun, Green Point Sun. It is a building or a structure that is an endowment property. It currently houses Cape Garrison Artillery, a reserve force establishment. It was constructed in about 1600 or 1700 something as a gun emplacement to defend the harbour, the bay, and has subsequently had quite a number of, in its history, of additions built on top of it. The fact of the matter is that the DOD, that is the Minister of Defence, had signed off a lease to an organization known as Institute of Maritime Archaeology four years back, 99-year lease. The That is the history. Now, honorable member, I'd just like to confirm to you that that is not part of the castle property. Neither is Travis Street, and they are separate. They have separate title deeds. Separate title deeds. And then, thirdly, Essa is Rand, commonly known as Vermeersplan. I know that there were a number of questions raised by Parliament, which our minister has answered. The history is that within the DOD, it did change hands from the Navy to the Army. The Army had the intention of using it also for one of its reserve force establishments. In that interim period under the control of the DOD, we accept that there wasn't proper security in the building, and the building in that period was vandalized. The DOD accepts responsibility for the costs of that that needed to be repaired. However, Chair, I needed to point out that Public Works had indicated that they had found, I just wish to go further first and say that we then had notified Public Works to take over the building, which they had undertaken to do last year, March, April, and appoint security guards to care for the property. And that was agreed to. However, for reasons unbeknown to myself, it didn't happen, and it was under their control, and further vandalization took place. So, what part was taken under whose control would be problematic at this stage. But Public Works had undertaken to appoint and dispose of the property to a, I believe it's a sport organization, is undertaking to pay for all costs. So our understanding, as it is at the moment, although it's discarded at the moment, that there would be no cost to the state as far as the damage is concerned, that the private company taking it over under the process of Public Works would then pay for the damages. The role of the DOD with the castle, as I pointed out, I wasn't quite clear on the question, but it would remain within the confines of oversight in terms of the reserve force elements remaining, as well as the fact that the endowment property, the DOD will not be disposing of or surrendering endowment property to anyone else, and that our role would merely be to have an oversight role and not to accept responsibility for any cost of maintenance. That would be for the department receiving the benefit of that property, not the DOD. As far as the assets are concerned, where we indicated that 80% had been captured, we, according to the Auditor General, had to provide an acceptable asset management system, and that was the new software package that had been purchased. What we are saying is that we are transferring the information on the manual register over to that new system, and that process is 80% complete, and we are hoping to we are aiming to complete that by June this year. As far as the suitably qualified personnel is concerned, that is correct. neither before or now do we have suitably qualified personnel to do the job. And therefore, we are in the process of recruiting from previous members of the DoD that were involved at the castle, and using the services of those people. Now, that's an urgent matter because that has to be completed by the end of this month. Now, as far as verification is concerned, that can be done. It's going to be done by the auditors anyway. It will be part of the audit process to do checks on a... I'm not sure what the technical term is, but obviously they, not the whole thing would be checked, but the auditors would go and do odd checks just to make sure that, that the quality of the is acceptable. Thank you, Jim.
On the department to have been informed spoken by the board here what the because it is then back to start the question as to whether the department decided to take the cost of taking to such property. Apart from saying no, it is a responsibility for us and Carter because when the trust did not take the money. I think these are some of the questions that are being asked. Let's say, but what are you informed of the government and what were the input made by the law? Were there talents, weakness, strengths that were presented to the department so as to inform the department to take the question? That's what I'm not asking. That's why I say some of the questions would then be going directly to the court. Because listening members to the general, when the general took over, that kind of a transition
Now you are assuming a responsibility of something that you have to sit back and look back at and say, how am I going to start to answer things? The general is talking about work in progress. In achieving certain things, there is a bill on the other side. And Aston Carter also is saying something else to them. Say, I'm appointing my own board to begin to I also ask the question, that force that is there,
your property. Mm-hmm. If you and then take or you, that individual will take over now the ownership. Now may not be so sentimental in keeping preserving property. That does not belong to him. Because the king is the king. Money going to come from? Will it indeed be there? So these are really points of concern. Then I think that this committee should follow up the fact that the vacancy hasn't been filled and is entitled to those minutes of the past 3 years. Because the immediate question is, what is preoccupying the Castle Control Board during the past years? What in fact have they done? And by not filling the position, say, of a vice chair, which would seem to be a matter of procedure and meeting. And my question also is there remuneration involved for the those individuals serving on the board? And that might have been a reason for these vacancies not being filled, that the money isn't available. I think I will stop here.
Why don't you, I think that was my question.
That day we have been told about there was lack of 25% external for mining stock. And then I see here the CCB will continue to control the income tax generation. I just wonder whether we have qualified, suitably qualified personnel to manage funds. Whether we have that type of.
Thank you. Capital Works, do you have an estimate of the value of maintenance and repairs to be done in the castle by the Department of Public Works? Well, it stands now from the Department of Public Works to DOD, but do you have an estimated value placed on maintenance and repairs in the castle? I don't want to go through the detail. We visited the castle, we looked at the doors, the frames, the shutters, the roof, the painting, everything. That's number one. Linked to that, I see you've recorded a surplus on page 19 in your annual report. Shouldn't part of that, what is that surplus for? And is it linked to possible future maintenance? That's the first one. Secondly, in your presentation, you said that Castle Control Board is only responsible for the assets of the Castle Control Board. So this is probably a question to Ms. Achenbach now. What about the other assets in the castle? You mentioned DOD assets, you mentioned military museum assets, you mentioned Ezekiel Estes assets, and private assets. So it's four categories of assets. If the CECB is not responsible for those categories, who is responsible and what is going to happen with those assets? Military assets. Military cultural heritage, if you want to call it that. So I'm unclear about that one. And then, when I look at the bill, maybe it's not the right question to ask the control board, but the president for the next meeting. At a consultation, he says the Department of Defense is in contact with the Castle Control Board regarding the development around the transfer. Not about the viability of the transfer, about the transfer. So maybe if we have this meeting proposed with the DAC and the DOD, we may want to include the Castle Control Board or at the public hearing process, if we go that route, to unpack this whole issue. In my understanding, it's important to me that we're handling it the opposite way around of what is a normal process. First have your transitional arrangements in place, and then you go to the actual step. Here it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, to go to the actual step of amending the bill, and then we say, okay, let's get the transitional arrangements in place. It seems to be the wrong way around. And my last question is probably to Mr. Chikela. If I understand correctly that you said on a previous meeting to this committee, the property of the council is the defense endowment property, and the usage of the council will not change. I just want to confirm that, also for input in the next meeting that we have. We cannot get to the answers completely in this meeting. I think some of the questions is not directed to the Castle Control Board, but rather to the DOD, DAC, and the portfolio.
Because
because I honestly, I'd like to say in your
your members, the input and the support you've got here is, I would like to say that the committee is really doing its work in applying their minds and saying, but what about this and what about that? And without sounding superficial on this whole issue, it really requires a take all this into account. We can provide questions, but I hope that I'm not going to create some sort of feeling that I don't want to be grabbing at straws. I want to be sincere and committed. If we say something, we've got to think about it. And a lot of these questions requires good thought to go back and say, we didn't think of that. We're honest. We need to go back and apply our minds to this now. What are we going to do about it? So there are some of them that I can provide answers, but generally speaking, I'm just overwhelmed by the quality and what has come out earlier.
Annual report and not annual report for the entity.
Now, what you are then seeing is that some of the things are pointing back. Arrangements that have been, ad hoc arrangements that have been made whereby the general ended up being changed. There were measures that were quickly put in place to save a situation. Save the situation because the chairperson was not there. Some of the key questions that were asked in the stakeholder meeting. Because there's one thing that member, myself, was still not clear. You know how the deal was. You can see the name clearly. How? As much as members would speak or rather ask questions. That are talking to transitional arrangements. I think our previous meeting started from that point, but we then reverted to then say we want to know how our well before we talk about the transitions and the last thing on the bill that they're going to talk to us and the kind of consultation was the these are some of the issues that he also could have. How deliberate about the cabinet member? Because a cabinet member. It ends up being a cabinet member, but informed by what the Bureau appointed. They are the ones who are doing the search. They are the ones who sit down with them and convince them that this is a curricular responsibility belongs to this and not to that. Now, the committee is very much concerned on issues that end up running around egg factories when it is a compatible. I think that's why we're so these are the things that we don't just look onto the quick fixes. I think the chairperson tried to come up with a quick fix in the last meeting. Whereby members of the we can have S, we can have. Well, okay, unfortunately, we have to think and rethink, look and relook. That's what is important. That's why we're engaging with this. Where like this is very necessary. Is there no joint venture that can be put into place in one to the oil? Not a question of people. I'm going to have to ask myself and you find the same as in the there's nothing else, but here we have also the council control. And as a council officer, we have also, they are talking to one another. So we have to look into that one. Yes, I can kind of convince you in your own interpretation to then say, but this says so. And I will interpret it differently, but I can read it differently. What you're talking about? In that department, how do you Now, I'm saying it is important. It's a great teach. It's a great teach because when we look into the response of the text that we saw from the years past, that is very good. The question of the general response of looking. Then I'm asking myself a question. Where was the question? Where was the question? How could they pick up some of these issues? It has suggested that in given area, or whoever is looking into the kind of thoughts that are coming to show by entities within the department, they are not in that page. That is what the annual reports are coming to that. This concept is not to be given. To come up and find an excuse, I don't say it is so. To find an excuse, the general strategy says because it cannot sustain or manage itself. But the big question is why? Because they should have studied the department, they should be meeting with the department, trying to again to look into those key challenges that are facing that particular thing. Because even others should be managed within all other media, they should be managed within, and you should be having that particular thing that works very closely with other culture, and there will be no line that we begin to separate them, because this is our heritage, whether it is defense or any other institution there is. Why should we find creating camps? Why can't we simply come up with an entity and say there will be joint management of this specific to maintain, because a person who can maintain is a person who knows. And you keep that kind of faith. And you keep that history so that it must not be erroneous. You know the kind of history that we're given the other day when we came from where it is today. It is my life. Say for one day, one member complained of the problem of today. But I think we touched on that. I remember you also touched on that. And so you must hope. We all appreciate. But you also want to maintain and keep the faith of defense in it. Don't matter. The problem is going to challenge it anyway. It's going to be. I'm then saying, keeping it is a question of joint management. We have to put all other departments so that we can manage. I'm not trying this as part of a debate. And if it does not work everywhere, the committee and the department joined together with the head with the board. I'm afraid because when we're looking at the bill behind the scenes, some of the members of the show don't say, hey, that then I'm just saying we have to say, but we have to come up with a but not the case. But it is critical in front of you because there are some key questions that I'm so interested, maybe to get it.
one pager that said, these are our comments, you know, the department did call us for that to make some comments about this, and these are the comments that she made. And one was made because we can hear that they are consulting with the Evan MPC. They are consulting with the Evan MPC, but one is more interested. And also, the interest of the committee is to also hear whether the department is interested in submission. Not just listening to the staff, just to listen also to people outside. Making that submission, because I want to also receive the submission that was made by Arts and Culture. Because I want to hear the people from Arts and Culture or entities within Arts and Culture to then say, here is our submission that is submitted to the department. Because I don't find anything who were consulting submission. Yes, one I think. But Evan says that I would want to allow that the formula to the last and of the and also We wanted somebody who was handling this thing before 94 or 94. That's 7 months. You come yesterday, you don't know nothing. It's put you on the problem.
phone for meeting and on block them.
No, it is very clear that this is exactly what the concept that we have looked at. Now that you can know, because you don't remember the intention that you have to contact. Now, I think we're quite clear that we're new and also the surprising is that in day-to-day of football, what can we do for them? And the other comment that I've never heard of
well. I think it is an immense song. And in this sort of phase of uncertainty, of transition, possible transition, it's going to make a very particular demand on you. And we wish you well for that. We know that you won't fail. Thank you very much. Chairman, on behalf of our team, and at the end of the day, whatever we said, we talk on behalf of our minister, who we support. I would like to thank you. I know I tried to say it early on. I'd like to repeat my words last week, but it always turns out to be an inspiring experience to look at the and to experience the manner, and as the honourable member has said now, the sense of responsibility that is displayed by this committee from a national point of view. And myself as an official, it's always nice to know. That wonderful feeling that he's left with us when we leave here, that we've got this incredible feeling of support and concern about our future as South Africans. And I'd like to thank the committee for the manner in which they've gone about this
I won't use the word interrogation, but support. Thank you, Chair.
Members of the meeting is attended. I would like the members to remain behind just to let us know what's going to happen next week. Thank you.